Whoa, what a wonderful day, what a wonderful day. I burst into tears when Liz took out worship and helped us gain strength from God. Then I burst into tears again when we sang the national anthem. Well, then I burst into tears again when Vanessa talked about Christchurch and how we have to all move through the stages of grief. Then I burst into tears again when I saw the video clip on Christchurch. Well, yeah, then I burst into tears again when I saw the clip about hope and love in Jesus. But thank God, literally, I thank God that I didn't burst into tears when Alex started talking. But don't worry, I might burst into tears when you talk tomorrow. And hopefully it's for a good reason. Well, I hope last night and this morning helped you as we started on our journey with the disciples through Jesus's final message from Matthew chapter 10, his departing final instructions to the disciples before he sent them out. For those of you who went here last night, I'm Reverend Leo Tikira. I am born and brought up in Wellington in a suburb called Wainuiomata. I've ministered in Lower Hutt and Wellington, but 5 years ago my denomination, the Anglican Church, sent me to Waipukuro, a little town in middle of Hawke's Bay called Waipukuro. Have a go at pronouncing that word, Waipukuro. Again? Oh, we'd really like you in our town. And I've been there for 5 years, and in my voluntary time, the local field officer for Hawke's Bay, Joan Parker, has fished me out of the Anglican Church in my volunteer hours, and I've talked to National Camp twice, and I've spoken at Wellington Camp 2 years ago, and I've spoken at Whakatane CFFD service last year, and this year I've been invited to speak here, and so I spoke last night, speak this morning, and I'll speak tomorrow for a while, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be talking to you. So as well as sharing about my life, I'm actually sharing about Matthew chapter 10, that point at which Jesus is final instructions before he sends out the disciples. Those final last instructions that Jesus gives his disciples as he sends them out. As Jesus will be sending all of us out from this weekend to do his will. Before I carry on, I want my region, Hawke's Bay, to tell you a bit about itself. And so Joan is going to tell you just a wee bit about our part of the North Island.
Hi everybody. Some of you know me through National Camp, but I have been chairperson for 18 years in Hawke's Bay. And we have gone from 7 people to oodles. We do a joint ministries now, and that is separate, but at the beginning it was all together. So we have quite about 150 all told around, and we sort of go from central Hawke's Bay, which is Takapau, and up through Waipukurau, through to Hastings and Napier, and a few up the Wairoa Road. So we have a vast area, and our ministries have developed through doing church services at Disability Sunday, and last year we did four services within 5 weeks all around different churches, and that's one area of ministry, and we do all sorts of other things too. Trips like we joined in February, we joined with the Lower North Island at Palmerston North. There was 80 people with disabilities joined there for a day, and we had a marvellous time. So our ministry is sort of all spread out, but it's very vulnerable. The area that I've got, and I've only got three or four on my committee, so you can imagine the work that goes on. So it's been a real blessing to be up here. I've come here for the first time for the Auckland camp. I think by the time I get my big group to Matamata, it's enough for the year. So I just don't usually go to the regional camps. But Leo asked me to come with him, and the committee here asked me too. So that was really, really neat. So yeah, greetings from Hawke's Bay. And please try and get to know me over the weekend. I'm not the bulldozer that you might think I am in Hawke's Bay, but I like mixing with people and getting to know people. So yeah, praise God.
So last night I gave a message about this chapter 10 about Jesus giving the disciples final instructions. I said yesterday, please belt in on your seats. Some people are already belted in their seats, but we all need to belt in our seats over this weekend as Jesus gives the disciples some final instructions. Some of it is easy, some of it in the middle here is very hard for us to follow, very demanding, and some people don't even through the time of Christianity have found it too hard, and they've left the church because of the challenges of Jesus. But if we buckle into our seats, and if we have faith like what we've seen this morning in the morning presentations, that the hills may fall into the sea, Jesus brings us through to an eventual glory, and there are some amazing messages at the end of the chapter, but we have to journey through this chapter with our seats buckled in and with our faith in Jesus strong. Verses 5 to 15. You may want to follow this in the little booklet, page 3, the mission ahead. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. go nowhere amongst the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. You receive without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for the journey, or two tunics or sandals or staff. The laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who is in it, who is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it, if the house is worthy. Let your peace come upon it, but if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to you, do your words. Shake all the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable of the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I feel Jesus gives us good, solid instructions. The best instructions, better than anyone else in existence, of how to proclaim his words. We're told to be very careful of who we talk to, who we choose to spread the word with. With me, if someone has hostile feelings towards the church, towards Christ, I let it be. But if an inquirer comes along full of questions of the church, of the nature of God, the nature of Jesus, the nature of the Holy Spirit, no matter how strange or a bit silly the question is, I open up. You can't stop me. I tell them about what I know about the church, about God, about the Holy Spirit, about Jesus. And you can't stop me. But I wait for that point of entrance, for that eagerness, for that queriness. And then I talk to them, and you can't stop me. But I feel that Jesus is saying to us, to all of us, choose your audience and then open up to them. There's an audience that you are being called, each one of us is being called to talk to. And there is an audience somewhere that we're being asked to leave alone. When I talk about Jesus, I talk about Jesus. It's so easy to talk about my fellowship, my knowledge of the Anglican Church. It's good and bad. I belong to a church denomination like you all do. We all know that there's wonderful bits inside each of our denominations. Bless their hearts, and there's imperfections inside each of our denominations and fellowships. Bless their hearts. Now, I've got the added blessing, or maybe the added curse, of knowing both sector Māori of the Anglican Church and sector general. Sector Pākehā of the Anglican and you can start me up and I can talk about all the habits, what some priest is like, what the other priest is like, what the other middle priest is like. But when I'm talking about Jesus, I need to be talking about Jesus, not about my fellowship, not about my denomination, not about my sector, not about the great baking that the ladies do at the church house, or about the great homes that I get to see when I go to home group. I need to share Jesus when someone asks me about Jesus. When someone asks me about the church, about Sunday service, I need to proclaim Jesus. And when we're proclaiming Jesus, we've got to think about what to put in and what to leave out. The other thing I love about these verses, verse to 5, from verse 5 to verse 15, is how Jesus resources us, instructs us, if someone gets negative to our sharing of our faith. If someone gets negative, uncomfortable, hostile about our faith, and even newcomer or an inquirer, or just got queries, if they ever get hostile, we're to walk away. We're to walk away. That's hard, but that's what Jesus is saying. Give them what you had to give them. If they close up, if they clam up, we're to walk away. You know, a couple of nights ago, because I spent Thursday night, Joan and I spent the night with Diane Hume. And I was talking with Trev. And Trev, who's staying some time with Diane Hume, was talking about the growth of other religions inside Auckland, other understandings of faith. And we were talking about one faith. Now this worldwide faith goes right around the world and it believes in the same God as us. But in that faith, that non-Christian faith that goes around the world, it's all right to cause trouble for people who don't believe like you believe. In that faith, it's okay to cause trouble, to upset them, to maybe hurt them. And this faith has gone around the world and says, at times, if they don't believe in you, what you believe in, well, make life hard for them. I don't want to name that faith. I'm not here to put down other ways of understanding the world. I'm not here to do that. But I am so liberated. I am so proud when Jesus says to me, if they don't want to hear about me from you, walk away. Don't make their life difficult. You haven't got a case to mess up their lives. If they don't want to hear, walk away. Walk away. Leave them to me and my Father. You don't have to cause them any trouble. And that's why I dedicate my life, my heart, my soul, my existence to Jesus. At the end of this reading, over the page, if you'd like to flip over, there's some questions. I'm not going to go over the questions now, but you might want to sit with a couple of people and go over those questions in your own time, over the weekend, by the next week or two. I'm now up to the reading headed on a page in the middle of the book called The Adversity Ahead. You might want to look for that page now. Jesus says this further to the disciples before he sends them out. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what are you to say, for what you are to say will be given to you all at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all of the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. And they have called the master of the house of Beelzebul. How much more will they malign those of his household? This is really where it gets upsetting and uncomfortable, folks. Please strap in to your seat. If you are following Jesus, you will be questioned, queried, and scoffed at. Maybe by those where you work, maybe by friends, maybe by your own family and your home. It's our calling. I've never been teased or upset by my friends or my family about me being Christian. They think it's interesting. Some of my friends think it's cute. When we have big meals or hanging together, I'm the always one on hand to say a nice, cheerful grace in both languages. The problem I have is my culture, Māori culture, which I told people last night. I'm devoted to the language of my parents and the culture of my parents. Even though I'm born and brought up in Wanyamata, my parents were born and brought up in a very Māori village of Ruatoria, north of Gisborne. They brought our family of six children to Wellington and gave us a very Western upbringing so that we could find good jobs and good employment. But they spoke Māori to us, which I love. They encouraged our culture and regular visits to Marae in Wellington, as well as visits back to our home marae o Mangahanea, back in Ruatoria on the east coast. I love my language and my culture. It lies deep in my heart, my love of my language and my culture, but it lies above my faith. My culture inspires my mind. My faith nurtures my soul. Over the last 20 years, well, 25 years, over the last 25 years, Māori culture has been on a journey as it considers its early 1800s beliefs before the arrival of Captain Cook and the European. When it had many beliefs, it believed that Mother Earth was a spirit in herself, that Father Sky was a spirit in himself, that the trees were a spirit called Tāne, that the sea was a spirit called Tangaroa. Over the last 25 years, as my culture, Māori culture, has found its own confidence, its own ability to live inside its own life and speak with its own language, it's also taken a journey. My culture has taken a journey that says, along with living in your own identity and speaking in your own language when you can in New Zealand, my culture has taken a journey that says, at times, we need to talk to Mother Earth, to Father Sky, to trees called Tāne, to the sea and its power called Tangaroa. It's been a journey that I am unable to journey with my culture. And so that puts me at odds with something I love, something I cherish. If we were able to understand Māori, and if we were able to sit out in the sun and chat, and you knew Māori language, I'd sit out there and chat with you all afternoon in the language of my ancestors, rather than the European language. That's how much I love my culture. That's how much I enjoy marae and what it has to teach me. However, there is a point at which you have to make a decision about what's deep in your heart and what your soul is telling you. So my soul tells me that there is only one God, that there is only one Saviour that I can talk to in my prayers. There is only one Jesus. There is only one Redeemer. There is only one Lord I can ask for favour. So that puts me at odds and difficulty with my culture, with my language, with the thoughts and the beliefs of my ancestors that I had to live through daily. Some Māori smirk at me. Leo, why don't you put a bob both ways? Why don't you talk to that Israeli God sometimes? And why don't you talk to Mother Earth, Papa Tuanuku, and Father Sky, Rangi Nui E Tune? Why don't you chat every now and then when you want good food? Why don't you chat with Tāne Mahuta, Whaka Piri Piri Ai? No problems with heaven. You can't have too many gods up there to say your prayers to. Sorry. I had to make a decision, one way or the other. My decision is with our Redeemer. those sorts of deep, aching questions we had to face as a Christian. There are things that you've got deep in your heart, the beliefs of your family, the fashions of your friends and your generation, what you see on TV, what you see, what you hear on the radio, those things that you enjoy on the internet, various temptations of life. Someday your faith, someday soon, will challenge where you live, how you live, and you need to make a decision. So that's what I encourage you to do, to endure, to press on with Jesus, to have a look at your own life and build your faith, to build your faith, your trust in God, and to make those decisions. What parts of your own society, what parts of your own friendship circle, what parts of your own family and home are you going to trust, and what parts are you going to leave because of the faith that nurtures and looks after your soul. So after the adversity ahead, I've also set you some questions to think about. You may want to think about them by yourself, or get in to little groups and have a talk about that third set of questions there. I invite you to explore these questions more than what I'm saying. Please be willing to explore chapter 10 and the questions I want us all to ask in the day ahead, the next day ahead, and the week and the life ahead of us all. May God be with us as we search through his questions and challenges for life. I'll speak to you again tomorrow, everyone. God bless.